Today on Real Radio.
We can have all of these wonderful things put in front of us and somebody will come by and criticize and we'll hang on to that thing. Isn't that funny? Paul is being railed on. What's the anchor of his soul? It is Christ that's called him. He's doing it for Jesus. That's his motive. People will always criticize. But what are you doing it for? Or who are you doing it for?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. We're hearing a presentation that takes a look at the first 12 verses of chapter 25, where Paul was facing trial. There arose the question of whether he should face his accusers in Jerusalem. Well, the apostle must have known that he'd have received an unfair trial there, so he cashed in on his status as a Roman citizen, which was not the case for everyone in the empire, by the way. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called An Anchor for the Soul.
Perfect love casts out all fear. And you fall asleep hanging on to the Bible. You ever been there? Fall asleep hanging on to the Scripture? Doctor begins to inject the anesthesia into the bottle and taps the line, swirls the bottle, puts in the needle, and you're sitting there and they tell you to count from 100 down and, you know, shine that stuff. I just start saying, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you just go down the verses until and that's a good way to go. In the midst of all this stuff, now listen carefully. You and I are sitting here, and Paul lived in a whole other millennium. And the tendency for you and I to get away from what God is doing in Paul's life and say to ourselves, "Well, this doesn't apply to me." Listen, be careful. These things were written for our learning. Don't think that that's good for Paul, but it won't work for you. Listen, Paul's heart is anchored to the facts and the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And you and I will make it in our life if we're anchored to Christ. And in verses 7 through 8, you and I are serving the risen Lord Jesus. And I don't know how that grabs you, but it ought to grab you good. It's awesome that our God is alive. Verse 7 says here that when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem, note this, stood about him. The word "stood about" means to encircle or to surround the prey or a victim. I bet Paul felt real welcomed. And look what it says, and they laid many serious complaints against Paul. Man, it is just absolutely pressure. And that word "laid" in the Greek means to stack up a shelf or to put something one on top of another. Can you imagine little Paul standing there? All these guys circling around. He was so short. They're all probably looking down at him. He defiled the temple. He spoke against the law. He this, he that. And Paul's just looking around. They're like dogs circling him. Verse 8 says, while he answered for himself, here it goes. He says, neither against the law of the Jews. Obviously, they were attacking him on those grounds. I haven't spoken against the Old Testament, nor against the temple. I haven't done anything regarding the temple. I didn't defile the temple, and I haven't even said anything against Caesar. Why did he say that? First time Caesar comes up. Because these guys were accusing him in front of Festus that he was ragging on Caesar. Now, you know what else he said? He said, your boss is a wacko over there in Rome, you know, trying to get the tables to be turned. Accusations, one on another. You ever been there? Hey, listen, they're going to come. You're going to get attacked. And the more you get on the edge, the more you're going to get attacked. Just make sure they just keep going. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Just let him go. But one thing, as I was going through this study in verses 7 through 8, there's one thing that came to my mind, and it means a lot to me, and that is I'm sure glad Paul knew that he was called to be doing this. And I don't know where you're serving the Lord at and what you're doing, but I tell you what, to have the assurance of the Holy Spirit's call on your life is one of the most wonderful things you could have. Do you know that God is calling you to work at that place or to do that thing? I don't know how wonderful that is to know that you're called and you're standing there and people come with their 12-gauge shotguns, so to speak, and they're blasting on you at your job or they're railing on you and they begin to mock you as a Christian and make fun of you, and you can stand there, you can almost smile at them because you know you're called. It's a great feeling. Oh man, you know what, you know this and that, and it's just, hey, are you guys done? You've got that confidence. By the way, you'll never know that confidence unless you step out. What was Paul's motivation for serving the Lord at this point? They were coming against him hard. Don't you think doubts would have come in? Have you ever been criticized for what you've done? What's the first thing that comes into our hearts? Doubt. Maybe I shouldn't have. And if you're serving God, you'll do something or you'll say something, and guaranteed somebody will be used by the enemy to say, you shouldn't have did that. And yet God told you to do it. But then you start thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have. Or I got bummed out last week. A lady got really upset with the message last week. And me, weirdo, out of all the people that got converted last Sunday after the three messages, who am I focusing on? The lady that was upset because the message was too direct. Well, wait a minute. I mean, I really studied hard enough to let go of myself, hard enough to let God fill me, hard enough to let God take control. And obviously it was. People got converted and people got upset. And gosh, it would have been flattering if I could have taken credit for it. But I can't. But when somebody criticizes you, that's the first thing. If you're weird like I am, somebody can say 10 good things, and I'm going, you're, God bless you, and I'm thinking, this poor person is so deceived, or they're lying straight to my teeth. I'm right to my face right now. They just can't mean this. They're just absolutely bonkers. They're blind. They must have fell asleep during the service. And then if somebody walks up and says, you know, that stunk, they're like my best friend. Because I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, man. But didn't I really blow that one? Why are we like that? I tell you why, it's because I'm not trusting in God all the time. We can have all of these wonderful things put in front of us and somebody will come by and criticize and we'll hang on to that thing. Isn't that funny? Paul is being railed on. What's the anchor of his soul? It is Christ that's called him. He's doing it for Jesus. That's his motive. People will always criticize. But what are you doing it for? Or who are you doing it for? In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, we see Paul's motive established once and for all. When he's on that donkey ride and Jesus appears to him, it's awesome. Paul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Jesus says, you go into the city and it'll be told to you what you should do. Paul knew his calling. Listen, people, Jesus told us in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, he promises us, he says, when they bring you into the synagogue, into the magistrates, and before authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say. He says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say in that very hour. Isn't that amazing? God has made that promise to us. Do we believe him? Another thing I see in verses 7 and 8 is that Paul had life assurance. Hear me clearly, life assurance. Yes, God gives us life insurance. We all, if we're born again, we have fire insurance. We're not going to burn. We're going to go to heaven. We have life insurance, and that's good. But listen, you know what we need right now? We need life assurance. You have life assurance, you have everything going for you. You know you're right into the hand of the Lord right there. He's got you. Your life is assured in Christ. Do you see yourself like that? We need to see ourselves like this. When God goes along the way with us, he's walking right with us. Tomorrow when you get in that car or when you get up to do those chores or those tasks, God's right with you all along the way. May God allow us to feel His presence. Life insurance is great. It settles our destiny forever. But life assurance is regarding our present, our right now, where we live. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Paul's motive was beautiful. He was wrapped up in Christ. Do we do that, though? Do we glorify Him in what we think, what we do, the things that we say, the things that drive our passions? Paul had a warranty on his life. His life was guaranteed in Christ. Listen, King David knew something about this. In Psalm 37, the greatest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 37, verse 25, David says, "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." Gosh, you guys were Christians. 99% of us, I would imagine. You will not be forsaken. Jack, I feel alone. So does Paul. He's not forsaken. There's nobody around. I don't recognize anybody. I'm lost in a city. Nobody can understand me. God knows where I'm at. It's like that little boy, you know, he sees a commercial and some person says, "I found God." And the little boy reaches to his mother and said, "I didn't know God was lost." Well, he wasn't lost. God finds us, always. That's a beautiful thing to consider. And Paul, man, all the hardships coming down on his neck. And Paul's going, "The Lord's my anchor, man." But David says, "I was young and now I'm old." You know, as we get older, there's a great thing that's going on in our lives. That is, we can see God's faithfulness. You look back over the years. Again, last night in our prayer meeting, we were sitting in our circle with the team praying, and my wife started this thing. She started reminiscing in her prayer. "Lord, I remember when we were a Monday night home fellowship that we gathered for a year and prayed on Wednesday nights, and I had forgotten, seeking God's will about what He wanted to do." And then that got my juices flowing. And I remember the day that we moved to Chino Hills from Costa Mesa, we got everything settled, and the four of us, we went up to the big oak tree that I think is at the base of Bayberry right now. They left that beautiful oak tree. In fact, I think it's the symbol of the city now. It's on the police cars and the trucks, that big oak. And we walked up there. There was nothing there. Actually, quite a few of you live up there. Your home wasn't even there yet. And in 1986, and we walked up there, and we didn't even know what we were doing, but the four of us held out our hands, and we said, "Lord, if it be your will, deliver into our hands, into your hands, Chino Hills for your glory." We didn't even know what we were talking about. And God is doing that. And as you get older, you look back, and you go, "Man, I was young, and now I'm old," and I tell you what, God does not forsake His people. He'll be with you all the way. Isn't it sad, though, that youth is wasted on young people? Just thinking about that. I need now more energy than I've ever needed to do the stuff that I need to do. And when you're a teen, you don't need to do anything but take out the trash, mow the lawn, wax the floor, change the transmission fluid, you know, those things, right? And they waste it on stuff, and now I need that energy. And I want to go as much as I can until I get to the point where I can't go anymore. David talks about the faithfulness of the Lord. Time reveals His faithfulness, and Paul knew this. In Psalm 139, verse 7, a great, great statement, the psalmist says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?" He says in verse 8, "Behold, thou art there." You can backslide tomorrow, people. You can get on your thing, and first of all, nobody wakes up tomorrow and says, "I'm going to backslide." It's a nice day. It's raining, snowing, 3,000 feet. They're telling us tomorrow, right? "I'm going to backslide. It's a great day to backslide. I'm going to burn my Bible." You don't do that. You slowly get away from God. That's how you backslide. You just stop doing what you know you ought to be doing. You get a little cool, you get a little cold, then you get a little dead, and then you wind up slipping away. Third and final point, verses 9 through 12. How did Paul maintain this anchor of his soul? It was the message that he proclaimed. The message that he proclaimed in verses 9 through 12 was responsible and, in fact, was the anchor of his soul. It says, but Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, and this is a place where him and Felix were exactly the same. They're so different, except in this area. They wanted to do the Jews a favor. The fear of men, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Every man, woman, I don't care who you are today, I don't care how strong of a facade you can put up front, I don't care how macho you think you are, how much you can bench press, you are afraid of men.
Well, I beg to differ with you, Jack, and I'll take you out back and show you. That's not what I'm talking about.
There's somebody in life that you will bow to.
Not me, buddy.
Oh, yeah? Your boss. Corporate president. FBI. CIA. WIFE. Somebody. I can say that. She's coming second service. Somebody can punch your button and you'll begin to cower. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, okay. Listen, the fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. It'll grip your heart.
Not me.
Oh, yeah, you. It's true. Wanting to do the Jews a favor, the fear of man. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, you better be afraid, you better watch out. He says, when all men speak well of you, you better watch out. That means you're a man pleaser, oh, make everybody happy. Now listen, I gotta tell you, every one of us outside of Jesus Christ will be prone to please men. You know why? None of us want to be rejected. Listen, I don't know how you guys are, but at work, there's nothing I enjoyed more than having my superior come up and said, on your back, that was an awesome job. I didn't even care if I got a raise for the next 5 years after that. Really. I was blessed by him saying, that was a great job. It's like, oh man. That's why it's going to be, can you imagine when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's like, yes, yes, yes. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be something. But every one of us outside of Christ, we're looking for approval of men. It's our nature. But here's the wonderful thing about a Christian. Once you understand where you are in Jesus Christ, it's like, Lord, I've got your approval, and I don't care what any man says about me. I know where I stand with you. And that's where Paul's at. People could come and attack and do whatever and make a conspiracy and plot against him. And Paul says, Lord, I'm yours, man. He believed that so much that he went on later to say, for to me to live is Christ, but to die, to die, that's gain. Going to heaven. That's radical. But it's our nature to want acceptance of men. Will men accept us? Sometimes. Will they reject us? Sometimes. George Whitefield, when he preached a message candidating for a church, George Whitefield preached and the church voted and he got a slip of paper and it said, rejected. And he sent a letter to his dad across the seas and he said, Dad, I was rejected. And his dad sent a letter back. And back then, it took months to get that ship across the ocean with a letter. His dad wrote a letter, yes, rejected on earth, but accepted in heaven. And that changed his whole attitude about ministry. And he went in with boldness. And of course, George Whitefield went down in history. But it's human nature to have this kind of a thing, and that's why Christ comes in and sets us free and gives us strong strength of the soul. In Ephesians 1:6 says, it's all of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved, that is Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? And here's a final thought. I love this. Verse 10 says, then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. That means I'm standing before you, Festus. You are a representative of Caesar, which in, so to speak, I'm standing before Caesar's authority, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. And Festus probably went, yeah, you're right. Verse 11, for if I'm an offender, he says, or have committed anything worthy of death, I don't object to dying. Kill me then. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. Anchor. I appeal to Caesar. Festus says, if you appeal to Caesar, then to Caesar you shall go. And Paul went, yahoo. Fulfilling the plan. Listen carefully and we'll wrap this up. It is absolutely awesome as we think about this that God has foreordained in Paul's life the events that are happening so much. People, grab this, please. If you have missed the whole thing today, will you get this one? That the things that have happened, that are happening at this moment, the things that are going to happen outside of this place every moment after this, is ordained of God in your life if you're a believer. It doesn't matter if it looks good or if it looks bad. If it's a temptation or a trial, God knows. To the very point that Paul is standing in front of a ruler representative of Caesar, and he's a Roman citizen born some 68 years earlier in a city that gave him citizenship. You don't think God was in that? God was in his birth at that place for this moment in time, so that Paul could stand there for the history of the world, eventually the gospel coming to you, simply because Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. It's incredible. I've got a flat tire. God's in it. I lost my job. He's in it. Don't remove yourself from Paul. God's in it. To Caesar you'll go. Awesome. God has been in everything that you've been experiencing. And if the clouds seem dark because of recent things, God is more in those things to bring you a hope. Jot it down. Put it on your right hand or your forehead. Jeremiah 29:11. Probably the most quoted verse in this church because I need it so bad. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called An Anchor for the Soul. It's a look at the first 12 verses of Acts chapter 25, where the decision was finally made whether Paul would receive his trial in Jerusalem or Rome. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue to look into Acts chapter 25. Remember that CDs and DVDs of the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference are available. And quite frankly, they contain information that really every believer should be aware of. Click realradioactive.org, where it's all explained. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you'd like to get in touch with us for any other reason, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.